Before we get going, we'd just like to tell you about an awesome Lighthouse event. It's for anyone looking to launch a new product, whether you're an entrepreneur or a business, and it's being held on Tuesday the 14th of March at Treehouse London in Clerkenwell. On the night, voice-activated AI startup Dazzle will give a presentation on how they went from conception to real-life application in 70 days. Following that, our expert panel will be fielding questions from audience members to help solve their product problems. Food and drink are on the house, so come along and join us. Find out more and get your tickets at wearelighthouse.com/events. Can't wait to see you there.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Lighthouse Podcast. I'm Tom. I'm joined again by Simon.
Hi.
Hello, hello. So we're going to be following up on our event that we had a little while back. It's been some months now, actually.
Yep.
We had Anthony on before talking about his Porter's Five Forces talk. At the same event, Simon did a talk about accelerators. He's got a fair bit of experience going through one in the past. So we thought it'd be good to kind of get him on, rerun some of the stuff in there, give a bit of an intro, but also talk about his experience specifically and stories based around that. So why don't we start with a really brief introduction to what an accelerator is.
Good idea. I'm going to be very quick on this because we've actually done a podcast before with a program manager of one of the best accelerators in Europe, Tristan Watson.
One of the best, yeah.
One of the best, definitely. In fact, if you dig out their stats, they'd probably claim to be the best seat stage.
There's no bias.
No bias whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. It's not like I've been
just,
through it.
Hang on, isn't that the one that you went through?
Oh. Coincidence. It's funny you should say that. Yeah, we have that. Well, actually, we'll link that in the post. If you want a bit more detail about what it is, what they can offer, that kind of thing, you should definitely check that out.
Yeah, we had a good chat with Tristan about that before. It was a really, really good podcast.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. But just for the purposes of sort of clarity right now, I'll do a really quick explanation. So a business accelerator varies massively, but the one thing that they would all claim to be is a program which entrepreneurs use to improve their business. That's it, simply. They could be completely free, they can take equity, cash, they can take anything else. They can also offer a combination of office space, mentorship, money, all sorts of things like that. Whether they suit your business is entirely dependent upon what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So we have a couple of clients who've been through other accelerators, textiles, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We've had actually a few more people on the podcast who've come from Ignite as well that we've talked to. People have probably heard about Y Combinator. That's mm-hmm. a big one. You know, Airbnb, people like that went through there.
Dropbox,
yeah. Loads of massively successful startups gone through mm-hmm. there. We met up with the guys from Bethnal Green Ventures the other day who are interesting, and they I think they're mainly based around physical product stuff, or tech things, but also kind of like companies that will do good for humanity or
they have a big
world.
Social enterprise sort of slant.
So some are all about just making as much money as possible, investing in companies that are going to get, you know, that 10x growth or whatever you call it, and some are there to like help people enable good through tech. So there's a big mix of companies out there, what they'll invest in. And equally, there's other stuff at the moment where a lot of big global brands and big companies will kind of have in-house accelerators or innovation labs, or whatever you call them. So
John Lewis had J-Lab.
We just found John Lewis the other day.
Yeah.
Unilever's got one.
Yeah.
I mean, loads of companies have them nowadays, and they're trying to...
Just Eat have launched one as well.
Really? It doesn't surprise me. No, it makes sense because, you know, it's a big risk, I suppose, to invest in startups because a lot fail and...
Nine out of 10, well. Definitely.
Yeah. But I think it's interesting that a lot of these brands are trying to find savvy people, young people often, to come in and, you know, build things that they can latch onto and maybe use to great profit in their businesses. So that aside, let's move on to your experience. Like, you went through Ignite.
I did. I mean, I've actually been through a little mini one before that as well, but Ignite was a lot more interesting. So I started a business at university with a friend. It was completely different to the one I ended up with. It mm-hmm. was basically a simple natural language processing algorithm to do with taking recipes and basically turning them into a form that a computer understands so that you can combine them, do clever things with them, send them to be ordered.
Sounds complicated.
It was needlessly complicated.
As all the best startups are.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. But unfortunately, at pretty much the same time we started, there was a guy on The Apprentice. I'm not going to mention his name because if you know about the business, you'll know who he was. He had a similar idea, left The Apprentice, raise a load of money, hire some developers. All due credit to him, he hit the market really quickly, started testing his assumptions, which is exactly what we tell everyone to do. Realized that he couldn't quite make it work in a certain way. He changed his format a little bit, such that when we hit the market, we were noticeably behind.
Yep.
This goes against some of the things that Anthony tells us we need to do, but yep, when we hit the market, we were behind, so we basically couldn't monetize in the same way. So we were sort of floundering around a bit. We got some contracts here and there, whatever, but nothing massive. And basically realized that an accelerator would help us solve this problem, help us find out what we should be doing instead. Mm-hmm. So we applied to Loads. And Ignite actually got back in touch with us. They were interested, so we spent a lot more time looking in detail as to what they offer, who their mentors are. Found out that it was actually a really, really good fit. They had some mentors who were in the industry that we were in, mentors who had dealt with similar businesses to us.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it, if you're going to succeed, to get the right mentorship is vital.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It's about them knowing the industry, knowing how the customers respond to things. It's about them being able to connect you to people. Which is ultimately the most valuable thing that we at least got out of Accelerator. So we basically took the application a lot more seriously. There were multiple stages. We had to submit, I think, an application form. We had to submit a video, and then we got a phone call back. Mm-hmm. I actually got a phone call at 8 o'clock in the morning the day after we submitted it,
which
woke me up. And it was one of the guys who was sort of on the board for Ignite who was deciding upon applications, and he actually called me and he said, I was one of the prime investors in your direct competitor.
All right.
Why should we let you in?
Oh, wow. That's a tough conversation for 8 in the morning.
I'm still not really sure what I said, but
must have said something right.
I obviously said something right, because they did eventually let us in, but that was a bit scary. But we had that. We had, I think, another phone interview. We had a Skype interview, and then we had a final face-to-face interview in London, which all went quite well. It was all quite hard. It was really interesting, just that process in itself, because the way they questioned you and your business, they questioned your metrics, which will tell you very quickly if you're measuring the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Because if they ask you a question about your business and you don't know it, then you've not analysed what you should be measuring.
Yeah. Do you think it was as much working out whether your business was any good or kind of sounding you out as people?
So different accelerators will have different answers to that. Mm. The one that Ignite claim would be the latter.
Right.
They say that they take people based on the quality of the team,
yep,
which includes their ability to measure an industry and everything. They've taken some teams even without an idea they liked. They've had some teams where they really, really disliked the idea, but they thought the team was good enough. And they've had some where they were just blown away by the idea. Mm-hmm. But they claim it's that. Other accelerators justifiably would say they're interested solely in the business. Mm-hmm. Those who deal with a slightly later stage company, perhaps. But with us, it was just, they said it was about the team. I don't think they actually really liked our business much, to be honest. Particularly because we were competing with one of their board members.
Yeah, that is a definite conflict of interest there.
But they let us in, they gave us a place. So at the time, we were still in Southampton, which is where we went to university. We just dropped everything we had and moved to Newcastle-upon-Tyne, which is pretty much one end of the country to the other. Yeah, exactly. We moved in there. Got a place, got office space from Ignite, which began the experience. I think this could be another entire podcast by itself, but I'll try and summarise. It was basically a very, very intense 3 months. I would go so far as to say I learned as much in their 3 months as I did in an entire year of university. The difference being that you have all these mentors who come and question you and try and look out for you and make sure you're making the right decisions, but you've also simultaneously got to be running your business on the side.
Yeah, I mean, everyone we've had talking about it and conversations I've had with people who've been through them say it's a super intense thing to do. But like you said, you know, you've learned so much in that time that it's always worthwhile, if not a little hard to stay on top of it all.
Oh, absolutely. It was very stressful. There was a lot of sort of socializing in the evenings, which I thought was brilliant at first. But I realized towards the end that it was genuinely necessary to get you to just relax and let your hair down a bit, because otherwise you couldn't. Otherwise, you're thinking about your business every waking hour.
Well, yeah.
All the weekends. I'm sure you do. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
How did the rest of the team take it? What, three of you, is that right?
There was just two of us when we were in. Yeah. There were some teams were just one person.
Right.
Who'd hired a couple of people to help him, whatever. Right through to, I think we had teams of four or five co-founders, and then they obviously had some people as well. Ignite typically don't like teams of one.
Yeah.
I think quite a few accelerators are like that, which seems a little discriminatory, and there are one or two which specialise in single founders, but having also at a later stage in the business been a single founder, I can really, really see why it's 10 times worse. You can't have got anyone to bounce ideas off. You've got all the stress on yourself. You've got to pay employees, and it's entirely your responsibility.
So, I mean, certainly as someone who's started a company with someone else, I wouldn't ever want to do it on my own.
No.
You just have to have that person to sanity test your decisions and ideas. Yeah. And I think it's a much better way to approach something like that.
It's also, this is touching on another podcast that someone else mentioned, but you really got to be aware of the stress. You know, like having that mental load is much bigger than people think. Or much bigger than you realise at the time. I think it only really hits you afterwards, in my case anyway. So having someone else there to sort of share that load with massively helps.
Yeah.
So having a good co-founder is always really helpful, but likewise you shouldn't just grab someone because that can destroy your business as well.
Yeah. So why don't we talk about the story of what happened and what eventually became Shuttlecook, is that right?
Yeah, Shuttlecook. So we're in this accelerator, we weren't really happy with what we were doing, and we also had pressure from above, as it were, to change, which was entirely the right thing to do anyway at this point. So we tried out loads of ideas. We read a book, which we mentioned on pretty much every podcast, called The Mum Test, which is extremely helpful.
Ding, ding. It's for the 1,378th time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's genuinely I'm not going to say life-changing, but it'll change your life.
If you're a startup.
If you're an entrepreneur, it is life-changing. It'll definitely change your way of thinking about business. We read that book, so we tried out those different ideas. We did something which I want to go ahead and trademark as donut marketing.
I like donut marketing. It's good.
It's brilliant, where you basically get a big box of donuts and you sit in a busy place and you tell people that you'll give them a donut if they talk to you for 5 minutes.
Mm.
It's the best way of getting a non-biased feedback.
I mean, you've spoken about that before, and we all kind of had a chuckle about it. But actually, it's a really important thing to think about, because you do want to get people to tell you the right stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you have to incentivize people, because you know, most people, if you stop anyone in the street, they're like, no.
Or rather, only a certain type of person will.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore,
it's a neat way of approaching that problem, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's really effective, and there are probably other things you could give out as well. But it's a really interesting to think. A really interesting thing to think about from a founder's perspective,
mm-hmm.
As a way to trick people into giving you the information you need.
Absolutely. And then once they start talking, they'll often give you a lot more than 5 minutes.
Mm. Oh, of course. You just got to get them in there. Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
I mean, if they're not interested, they'll walk away. But you know.
Exactly, yeah. And we used it as well a lot later on when we wanted to sort of start to sell as well. Mm. We'd use this as a way to open the conversation, and we would generally learn a lot from it before we then start talking about what we want to sell them.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so
I can feel a blog post about donut marketing coming.
I have to get writing. So yeah, we did that. We basically just thought about the problem, and we came up with the concept of Shuttlecook. Shuttlecook was a same day sort of on demand as you were meal kit delivery service.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked in the same vein to companies like Gusto, which was the original, and HelloFresh, which is the Rocket Internet version, where you get everything you need to cook a meal, including all the vegetables, the proteins, the carbohydrates, etc., and a recipe card ready to go in the correct amount, so you don't have to measure out spices and things like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
The difference of Shuttlecook was that instead of ordering it a week in advance to get a box that would last you for a week or so, which is fine if you know what you're doing a week on Thursday, ours was more around somebody like myself, sort of young professional, very spontaneous, could get a call at lunchtime from an old friend, and that's it. Any evening plans have now changed.
Yeah.
The idea of Shuttlecook was you order it at lunchtime up to 3 p.m. and then a bag gets delivered end of the day on your desk, ready to go, just for that meal, just for that evening, so you don't have to subscribe or anything. Came up with the idea, we had a train journey down to London a week or so later, where we sort of, everyone that was trapped in the carriage with us became our panel. We bounced ideas off everyone. It was brilliant. Most of them were also entrepreneurs, to be fair. It was fine. But we did all that. We came up with a name, because we hadn't called the service anything at this point. We designed a logo.
It's a good name.
Yeah, thanks. Designed the logo. We bought the domain. We got all the Twitter handles. We came up with all the branding in one go, in one incredibly intense three-hour train journey. We arrived in London and met all these investors and said, right, we've got a new business. But they liked the idea of it. It went well. So we went back at the end of the day, and over the next couple of days sort of refined it. And basically we just went out around Newcastle, again, probably with donuts, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Talking to everyone, talking to loads of businesses about what we were trying to do, getting them signed up to the idea if they wanted to. We got 150 odd people, phone numbers, something like that, signed up. It wasn't massive. And then the next day we texted them and said, this is the meal. Do you want to buy it?
Cool.
I think for £10.
Yeah.
For two people, so £5 a head. And we sold 20, 30, I don't know.
That's not too bad.
Within a week of the idea, we'd sold meals. We had revenue. Yeah. That was incredibly exciting from trying to run a software business, which takes months and months to push out things, just selling a product.
The quickness of that is astounding, really, isn't it? And using like old school methods of just getting people's phone numbers or whatever it is.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That was why we liked it, I think.
Yeah.
So we did that. We did it. We obviously stepped back again and tried to make the whole process more efficient. And we then ran a proper 5-6 week trial in Newcastle, got the hockey stick growth graph where awesome. It just goes exponentially up to the right, and then the story goes on from there. The story is a different story that again would be another blog post, but
yeah, I think we'll come back to that one another time.
Raised a load of money, moved to London, etc. But that was how it started. It was a very exciting initial first phase. I think that's probably what got me hooked on startups.
Yeah, definitely. And that kind of like Ignite experience, Accelerate experience was a kind of big part of that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You got people to bounce ideas off. You got people through the highs and lows that have their own highs and lows around you. So you support them, they support you. They had a word actually for when you finish called the post accelerator blues, which I didn't take seriously until I left and I was in an unfamiliar cold city and I didn't have anyone to bounce ideas off and talk about things and sort of see their struggle as well. So it is really, really helpful being surrounded by people like-minded trying to do something similar.
Yeah, definitely. No, it feels like a good environment for that kind of thing. But yeah, there's obviously dark times as well. And
absolutely,
having a few people on, it's been...
It's mostly dark times. It's not light. There's a few incredible highs and then an awful lot of downs.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting stuff. I think we'll link through to some of the other podcasts where we've had startup founders in. Mm-hmm. They all seem doing really well now as well. So no post accelerator blues there. And I think we'll definitely get some more chats to hear about Shuttlecook's rise and fall, I guess. Could you put it like that?
Yeah.
I suppose in the future, and more kind of take homes about how you went through your kind of startup experience and got to where you are now. But thanks for giving us a bit of an intro to accelerators and your experience.
Not a problem.
Cheers all for listening. There's more content on our blog, wearelighthouse.com/blog. You can look through there. Follow us on all the social places at We Are Lighthouse on most of those things. Drop us a line if you want as well to give us feedback on this podcast or anything else. Hello@wearelighthouse.com. Check back soon and we will speak to you later.
Cheers.